Hear the word of God, as it is written in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is the word of God.
Well, you will remember in December last year, we started working our way through Ephesians. And now this morning, we're coming into chapter 6, the last chapter. And this morning, we're going to conclude this little passage where the apostle has been applying the gospel to our families. And friends, I do want you to carefully take note of that. You see, we are not coming to our world and just expecting every man or every wife or every boy or girl to live according to what we have seen and what we are going to take note of this morning. We must rather see that in the context of all that's happened before. And what it's saying is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to our world and He died on the cross for our sin. And the moment people repent of that and they trust in the finished work of Jesus on the cross, they are born again. That's what it means. They become brand new people. And the great promise, friends, is that the Holy Spirit comes to live in our lives. And the moment that happens, there is going to be change. So that the Apostle Paul said, if any man is in Christ, he's a brand new person. The old has gone. And everything becomes new. That's what happens. And the one place where you see that more than any other place is at home. You see, we are not focusing this morning on the work. That comes up next Sunday morning. Next Sunday morning, we move out of the family into the office. And we see the type of employer and the type of employee God wants us to be. But this morning, the home. And what we have seen, friends, if I may recap for a moment, is the men. We came to the husband. The call of the husband is, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. To tell you, men, there is no greater challenge in the world than that. That you and I are to love our wives enough to die for them. The men at home lead and love. The man's the heart of the home. He's the heart. He loves and he leads. And I say, if I may, to any young girl wanting to get married, looking for a husband, remember, girls, it's not how much money he's got. Or the sort of job he holds. You need to ask yourself, is he going to love me like Jesus loved the church? Is he caring? He may not be good looking. That's got nothing to do with it. I mean, look, Mary married me. You see, it's not good looks, it's not money, it's not success, it's got nothing to do with it. The only thing you ask when you want to get married is, number one, is he a Christian? That's all you ask. Because you cannot marry a non-Christian. And number two, will he love me? All you ask. Just those two questions. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Be his helper, his encouragement. Love him, stand beside him. Pour your love into your husband and then into your children and into your home, as the church does to Jesus. Any guys thinking of getting married? It's got nothing to do with looks. Got nothing to do with fashion. All you ask yourself when you want to marry a girl is she a Christian? That's number one. And number two, will she help me, stand with me, and be a great friend to our home? Wives, submit. And then we saw the blueprint. Remember that? That lovely picture of, for this reason a man must leave his home, leave his mother and father, cleave to his wife, and the two become one. Tremendous blueprint. Got to leave home. Cleave to your partner. Become one, said Jesus. What lovely things these are for our world. And now this morning, as we wrap it up, the children and the parents. What does God require of the parents? We've had a look at dad and mom and the blueprint. Now the word to parents. And it simply says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it will go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So, dear friends, God's order for the children is compassed in a single command. The Bible lays down, children, obey your parents in everything. This pleases the Lord. Jesus lives and works in the life of an obedient child. Children, obey your parents. Why? They may turn around to us and say, but why? Why must I listen to mom and dad? In everything. But it says, why? Well, friends, there are three reasons. The first reason is, because it's right. That's what the Bible says. It's part of the basic rule of life, and something that we see not only among humans, but sometimes even among the animals. Our parents have wonderfully provided for us. They've taught us the essentials of life. They've guided us and guarded us and instructed us and so on. And so in response, the children in the home render to mom and dad obedience. That's what the Bible lays down. Children, obey your parents. It is right to do that. If I may develop that just for a moment, what does that mean practically? I want to suggest to you, friends, that obedience and respect can be shown to our parents in both word and by way of deed. And I say to children who are living at home, no matter how young or old you are, if you're at home, you're under your mom and dad. You're living at home, never, ever, ever say anything about your mom or your dad that is derogatory. When you speak about mom and dad, you speak about your parents with respect. They may have made mistakes. We're all sinners. None of us is perfect. Children, when you're speaking about mom and dad, show respect. When you're speaking to mom and dad, show respect. Show honor. The Bible tells us not only that, but in our obedience and respect, there will be a careful obedience, just like Jesus did to his parents. Listen to their counsel. Comply with their commands. And as they get on in years, always seek to relieve their needs. Children, obey your parents. God wants you to be an obedient child at home. It's right. It's right. It's what God wants. The second reason why there's to be obedience is because it's commanded in the Bible. It goes right back, as you all know, just as well as I do, to Exodus chapter 20. And that's why we have the Ten Commandments up on our wall. It's what God wants. Obey your parents. It's a command of Scripture. And then thirdly, because it's pleasing to the Lord. It's pleasing to the Lord. And so when you've got particularly a Christian child at home who has given their lives to Jesus, this is the great longing, isn't it? I want to please Jesus at home. That's my aim in life. I want to please them. I want to please Christ. And what pleases him? What pleases him is an obedient son and an obedient daughter. We Christians. Dad, love your wife. It's the greatest thing you can do for your children. Wives, submit to your husband. Be a great help for him. And children, obey mom and dad. Be an obedient, loving, respectful child at home. But Paul doesn't only dwell on the children. He then comes on further and he speaks to us as parents. And he tells particularly the fathers that we must not exasperate our children. Instead, we must bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. So for those of us who are parents, friends, what does Jesus want from you and me today? What are the priorities that govern our lives as moms and dads? What is it that drives us each day with regards to our homes? The first thing is, we are to teach our children. We are to teach them. Remember the Word of God says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. We are to bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord, because by nature they can't do it. Some of you won't agree with me. Forgive me for that. But you know, it's a sad thing when I do meet parents And they say to me, I'm going to leave it to the children. They must decide. They must decide if they want to go to Sunday school. They must decide if they want to go to youth group. They must decide. I say to you, my friends, you are wrong. You are wrong. Because children are born sinners, like us. We've got to bring them up. It's our wonderful, wonderful, wonderful privilege and responsibility. It's an awesome responsibility for the parents to train, to teach, to instruct our children in the ways of the Lord. So how do we teach them? Well, the first thing is, we teach them by way of careful instruction. Larry Christensen put it like this. His books are in the library there. He said the teaching of our children begins with very careful instruction. It may be instruction in table manners, tying their shoelaces, in moral values. Patiently and lovingly we teach our children what we expect of them. A parent has no right to expect diligence and good workmanship in the child if they have not invested time and effort to instruct their children carefully and thoroughly. So, especially if I may say that, dads, it's our responsibility. It's not the responsibility of mom, it's dad. Dad's point man. Dad takes it seriously. And when the children are growing up, he reads the Bible to the kids. He makes sure that there's good books being read at home. Teaches them. He teaches the Bible. Why? Because you train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. They may wander away, they'll come back. They will come back. So you've got a gracious and a merciful God. Must instruct and teach our children the Bible above all else. So they need to learn that. Need to learn. When a woman comes in, I was in Cape Town yesterday, and just a small thing, nobody probably even noticed it, but it was raining down there, so they put us in these buses to take you to the plane, and you know what it is, I just happened to get in first, and I was sitting in, and a lady came in. Nobody stood. I was taught by my dad, a lady comes in, you give her your seat. It's good manners. It's good manners. It's taught, don't lie. Tell the truth. It's good sound principles. Dads, take it seriously, if I may say that, and you moms come alongside and you help. You're a single parent. Moms, you may need to do it on your own, and we want to help you and love you and encourage you in that. Because it's not easy, but it's a key thing that Paul is telling us here. Children, obey and respect your mom and dad. Parents, teach your kids. Not just good morals. Teach them the Bible. Teach them how to come to Christ. B, there ought to be rules that are set in the home. Where there are no rules that are firmly set and kept, a child's life is going to be tossed about on the shifting tides of feelings and impulses, either of his own or of his parents. Children thrive on order and discipline. And I think that's very, very important. So, moms and dads, you're going to have to come and say, that's the rule of the team. That's it. It's the rules. They're parameters. They're borders, they're boundaries. We love each other. Speak nicely to each other. This is what we require in the home. Larry Christensen put it like this. He says, parents who are too busy or too tired or too lazy or too indifferent to ride herd on their children every minute of the day or to have those children taken out of their custody. As a matter of fact, they should never have had children. That's quite strong words, he said. Maybe we would soften that, but you can see what he's saying. We ought to know where our children are 24 hours a day because we love them, eh? They're precious, precious, precious to us. We know their friends. We know the parents of their friends, their boundaries. I say to you boys and girls here this morning, there are one or two from the older Sunday school. Don't feel your mom and dad is being too strict on you, eh? If I may speak to you as a friend, you got a dad that's strict, say thank you to Jesus. I want to tell you that. You're going to laugh. My dad, unfortunately, wasn't a Christian when we were growing up. But he taught me strict morals. If ever I was not nice or ever it was cheeky to my mom, life boy soap. Go and clean your mouth. Your mouth's dirty. Hey, I tell you, life boy soap and me are just enemies for life. And you know, one can say, hey, he was too strict. No, he wasn't. My boys are ever disrespectful to Mary, I will tell them. Don't ever, ever cheat your mom. Ever. That's life. There must be boundaries. Set rules. Children love it. Gives them security. So teach them. And then point C. Teach them by way of example. That's what we long to be with all our failings. An example. Nothing is more important than the example. You want your kids to do such and such. You and I have got to try by God's grace as an example. 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 That's it. So, parents, this morning, it's a strong word there. Train your children. Got to train them. Instruct them. It takes time. Takes effort. Takes discipline. But it's a great privilege. Looking for a husband? Remember, just ask those two questions. Is he a Christian? Will he help me to do this? It's all you ask. Doesn't matter about anything else. Those are smaller matters. This is the big one. Is he going to love me? Is she going to help me? We're going to train up our kids God's way. That's what we want. And so for you and I, friends, teach is number one. What's number two, quickly? The second thing there is a need for discipline. For discipline in the home. A very frightening verse always for many of us is 1 Samuel chapter 3, where God comes to Samuel and he says this, I'm about to punish your house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Very sad words, aren't they? He knew where his children were, he knew what they were doing, and he did absolutely zero about it. And so, boys and girls, there will come times in your life when your mom and dad, because they love you and care for you, are going to discipline you. Listen to this verse. Hey, it's against the constitutional court or whatever it's called, but it's biblical. He who spares the rod hates his son. But he who loves his son is diligent to discipline. Now that's the word of God. And God's word is clear, brothers and sisters, that we take it seriously. And there are times when we need to discipline our children as they are growing up. One of the roots of that is by way of the rod. One of the books of marriage said this, in the first 12 years of a child's life, they can learn more through the seat of their pants than what they would otherwise learn at great cost. So we put that up on the kitchen wall. And you know what? It works. It does work. This is what God says. Listen to this other verse. Do not withhold correction from a child. If you discipline him with a rod, he will not die. You beat him with a rod, you will save his life from hell. Wow, that's quite a strong verse, isn't it? One of our great, great privileges was having supper one night with Peter Pollock, funnily enough, and with James Dobson, who's written so many books on the family. And we'll never forget Dobson and what he said to us. He says, you know, discipline is important. And it's so important when you need to discipline your children. They haven't obeyed you in an issue. You mustn't push it under the carpet. You need to discipline. And to take your children and to say, my girl or my boy, I want you to know Daddy loves you. And because I love you, I'm going to have to discipline you. Because you did something that I told you not to do. And Jesus wants me to do that. You show grace and love. You explain why you need to do it. And then you discipline. Hard enough to encourage him not to do it again. And then when you've finished, you put your arms around your children. Say, remember, Daddy loves you, eh? Very, very much. A wonderful home to be brought up in like that. Mom and Dad, see the priorities to bring them up in the ways of Jesus. Jesus. And so there's teaching and discipline. And then lastly, number three, and then we're finished. The great thing, as we seek to bring our children up in the training and the instruction of the Lord, is as parents to love our children. Unconditionally. And I don't need to tell you that. You know that just as well as I do. That we may fail in a lot of issues and may not be able to provide in lots of other issues, but we all long for our children to say, well, you know, through it all, I've got a dad and I've got a mom who loves me unconditionally. I think it's important. I think it's critical that we love and love and love with a self-sacrificing love for our kids. I suppose it's old-fashioned, really, but our son phoned us last night from London, and he was chatting for a long time. I'm glad I didn't pay. But then I always liked you in a small way. I mess it up in most other things. But I said, hey, my boy, don't ever forget, eh? We love you to death. Now he's 26. But we love you. Oh, no, Dan, I love you too. I hope he does. But you know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Just say, I love you, eh? That's how I was brought up. That's what I'll keep on doing. Your children must know you love them. You must tell them. Show it. So with all our mistakes, we must love. Now, my friends, this is what Jesus wants of a home. Did you notice it's got nothing to do with money? But nothing to do with success in the world. Got nothing to do with looks. All the things that the world goes for. Looking for a good husband for your girls. Come to the prayer meetings. To the Bible studies. Come to church. That's where you'll find a good guy. May not have money. May not have looks. May not have this, that, or the other. But you know what he'll have? He'll love you. Looking for a girl. She a Christian. That's all that matters. Does she love Jesus? Will she help me in life? Girls, boys, obey your parents. Listen when they talk. First time. Parents, teach your children. Discipline your children. Love your children. May the great joy be to see your children loving Jesus and walking with Him. That's all we want. Isn't that right? May God bless your homes. Let me close on just a light note. 12 rules from the Texas Police Department for raising a delinquent child. Rule number one, give your child everything they want. Number two, when he picks up bad words, laugh at him. Number three, never train him spiritually. Number four, avoid use of the word wrong. And number five, pick up everything he leaves lying around. Six, let him read any book he finds. Seven, argue and quarrel frequently in the presence of your children. Eight, give him all the spending money he wants. Nine, satisfy his every craving for food, drink, and comfort. 10, take his part against neighbors, teachers, and policemen. And 11, when he gets into trouble, apologize for yourself by saying, I never could do anything with him anyway. And then number 12, prepare for a life of grief. Let's pray. Lord, we just pause this morning and just want to say thank you so much for the Bible. And I'm going to just suggest, friends, we close our eyes and we just want to pray for each other. Please pray for me. I want to pray for you. Wives, are you submitting to your husband? Are you loving him, supporting him? Are there areas you need to repent, change, put right? Men, are you loving your wife? Demonstrating that to her? Children, are you obeying your parents? Or do you argue and fight against them? Parents, what are the priorities for you, for your children? Are you teaching them? Are you disciplining them? Do they know you love them? Are you looking for a husband or a wife? This is the person you must look for. Father, won't you forgive us for failing in so many ways, so often being led by the ways of the world. We slip into the thinking of the world. But won't you help us to have world views from the Bible? And I just pray so much for every wife, every husband here today, every grandfather, boy or girl, parent. Just pray that by your Spirit, we will grow closer to Jesus. Help me, Lord, in my home, to be a more godly dad, to be a more loving husband. And I pray that you'll bless Mary and John and Murray and Greg. And I pray for Jane, and I pray for Sarah. I'm so, so grateful for my precious family. Amen.